You are listening to the Glass Cannon Network, the premier source for role-playing game entertainment. Last week on the Glass Cannon Podcast.
He tells people to come here. They are gassed, knocked out, and then he does...
experiments?
Cuts their head off, question mark?
Yes. Maybe that's what's happening with the awakenings, because it's we see him in the mask, and then our powers grow.
Whoa. This is all so yucky.
You see him mention a mummified hand. He has been trying to grow that hand back into a full body. He calls this creature the guest.
Oh, great.
That's eerie.
He's built an entire containment chamber for the guest.
I think we should go look at the vault.
To the south, there is another door.
The regular door
first? Regular door?
The regular door.
Yeah.
See what's back there before we start messing with this dial.
To the door!
Several humanoid skulls.
Oh my god.
Are mounted on stands. This is like a grisly trophy room.
Oh!
Holy shit.
Each skull is accompanied by a plaque bearing names and dates. Then you see a name that you recognize as Bolan Nagasa.
The adventure continues. Now.
Jump. I don't want to jump out of a plane with a parachute, and I don't want to go to space.
Same. Hard same.
Not interested.
Disagree.
Space is for women now.
That's why I don't want to go.
Women only.
Rich women.
The yassified space.
Take up space.
Why did those women go to space?
No reason.
Money.
No.
They got money for that?
Fucking, yeah, Bezos. Bezos.
How many pesos?
I love calling Jeff Bezos. Mexican government sent them up.
You see that Wendy's tweeted a picture of Katy Perry and said, can we send her back?
Yeah.
Wendy's is notorious for having a pretty cheeky
online
X profile. Katy Perry is now going to sue them.
They kept going.
That means you wanted me to die out there. She might. Yeah, they kept going.
Wow.
Good.
I kissed the ground and I liked it. Yeah. They had a lot of fun.
I don't want to do it.
Not interested. I don't need a bungee jump. I don't need to jump on a plane. I certainly don't need to go to space.
Well, bungee jumping is also like, I feel like it's not good for your back. Because I would imagine,
yes, it's horrible for your back.
I imagine it's great for your back because that first boing, the release of the air pockets in your spinal cord, ooh, must feel so
good. Are you one
so
of those people that watches like a chiropractic video where they like wrap a towel around their neck and go, I'm a doctor?
No.
Not again. No.
All chiropractors sound like father.
I like going to the chiropractor. I think it helps me a lot for back stuff. I haven't been in a while. But I disagree with you about the other stuff.
So you're fine with going to all three? You want to do all three? You want to go to space? You want to go bungee jump?
Have you been to space?
Yeah, have you? Are you holding on to this?
No, I have.
Have you bungee jumped?
Have you been?
No, but I have.
Have you skydived?
Skydived.
Okay.
Yeah. Which
you seem like a skydiver.
Solo or on top of a man?
Underneath a man.
On top of a man.
Underneath a man.
Underneath a
wink.
Man.
Yeah.
That's sexist.
Wink. Yeah. Just like in the real world, I'm always somehow under the heel of a man.
I think you could copulate in midair.
I'm sure people have done it.
Eagles do it.
That's true.
That's true. The death grip. No, skydiving is cool. It happens so fast. Like, I want to do it again.
Not interested. Oh, you don't have enough excitement in your life? You just need that thrill of death?
All right. No, I think it's a... my thing is, like, I'll try anything twice. So
you would drink a bottle of whiskey and drive 100 miles an hour on the freeway?
Twice. If she didn't get that caught or kill a kid the first time,
right.
She'll give it another go.
Try it again.
We'll try anything twice.
We're only here once, you know? So it's very much like, oh, I'll try bungee dumping, I'll try skydiving. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. You know, that's, if you want to do it, do it.
All right.
Okay.
Space, though.
Think about it. Somebody that's came to you line. Later today
yeah.
and was like, in 3 weeks, I'm going to fully pay for you to go to orbit briefly and then fall back to Earth.
Here's the thing. I would absolutely do it. But my feeling about it, especially after that whole space mission thing, I'm like, what a waste of resources. Mm. Like, to send me to space is burning a pile of money. Like, okay. It's yeah. That's not stupid.
That's especially the fuel that we could use on Earth.
They shouldn't send me to space.
Look, let's just agree on that. I don't think that's really disputable. Assuming it is not a waste of resources,
I would go.
You would go.
Yeah,
well, go to space.
It would be amazing. What an amazing experience!
I thought the same thing, and then once, and I love space. I'm a big space geek.
Loves it.
Yeah, you love space.
You love space. Apollo geek, which is very like, you know, not fancy space travel, right? Like just barely surviving in space. And I had a dream once. It's wild. It was one of my most vivid dreams I ever had that I was actually like on a rocket, like, and it wasn't like Apollo. It was like a sort of a visitor-y, whatever, take a little boop, boop, you know. And I was in there and I had this overwhelming feeling of dread. Like, wait, why am I doing this? Like, why would I do something like this? And then it explodes and you begin taking off. And it was like, it was so real in my dream. And I was like, I'm going to die. I'm going to leave my family with nothing. Like, I don't know why I did this. It's so dumb. And ever since then, I really have been like, you know what? If it actually came to me, like, I wouldn't do it.
Well, I would.
It's just so risky and so dangerous.
I wouldn't want to just go up and go down.
Yeah.
But if it's like, go to the moon.
You would start a new colony.
I'd go to the moon.
Would you be part of the new colony?
Yeah. Can't come back.
You can't come back.
Can't come back. You got to start a family out there. Procreate.
Depends who's coming with me.
Okay.
Probably not, but.
What if it was Troy?
Just me and you. Oh.
We're going to the moon.
Well, that
first family.
That's it.
First family. Just
think about it. Answer next
year. Just you two.
I don't want to put you on the spot. No. I wouldn't go with Troy either.
No. Skid, would you go to space?
I used to want to go. I was like, that was one of my main things when I was younger. I was like, I really would love to be one of the first people to go to Mars. But at my age, no, definitely not.
No. So it's an age thing.
I can't even bend over. Like, why? How am I going to go to space?
Wait, but you'd be in zero G. You don't have to bend over.
But just G-forces to get up
there. It'd be a situation where I'd have to bend over in space.
I don't know.
So you don't have to bend over when you jump out of a plane? Would you want to do that?
No, our good friend Andy Torbett, he does it routinely. Mm-hmm. So I'll let him do it. Okay. I'll live vicariously through him.
Okay.
I wanted to for a long time.
Plane jump?
Yeah. And I think that I'm probably not going to. Yeah. It's probably passed me by.
Yeah. You need more
excitement. Seems like it would be so cool.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
A group of friends went back in the day. Nick Lowe and Andy Schmidt, Alix, like they all it was an outing organized by our local tavern, and they all went, and I wanted to go, but I couldn't that day for some reason. And they all did it. They all had
beers on the plane, pilot, yeah. All the skydivers.
Trashed. Pilot was trashed. The guys they were strapped to, trashed.
Yeah.
I assume. But they had a great time. I always wanted to do that too, but now it's too late.
I don't even want to go up in a hot air balloon.
Oh no, that's worse.
I've done that.
You've done that?
Just floating?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was fun.
That's got to be pretty cool because it's quiet, right?
Yeah, it's really, it was really
about the fire,
except for the just blazing fire
brief moments of that, but it doesn't go the whole time.
No, it's great. I had a great time. I loved it.
Is it true wherever you land, do you pop champagne?
Yep.
Wow.
Huh. Yep. Is this tradition?
Would you bungee jump out of a hot air balloon and then cut the cord and parachute down and then immediately be ricocheted into space?
Yes. To answer your question, yes.
She'll try anything once.
The rocket catches you. The rocket opens its door and catches you.
Like you hit a trampoline and it just...
Bungee jump from space.
Oh.
See, that's next.
You know what I wouldn't do that I think is stupid? Mm. The
animal sex.
Well, I guess...
How did you try pop into your mind?
No, what is going on?
You try anything twice.
What is going on in there?
Just goes to Rolodex. What's the funniest thing I can say?
Troy's like, I draw
you
the
left
line.
That pause. You left that pause.
I draw the line there. You're right. That's stupid. I
wouldn't try that twice.
I wouldn't do the glider suit things that like the Red Bull.
Oh, like a flying squirrel.
Yeah, 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 fuck that.
All right. So
that
there
is
was
a death trap.
So back in the day, I had a film filmmaker buddy who wanted to make a film about like these guys that do this stuff.
They're insane.
And so he was talking to me about being like some small part in it and like being one of these guys. You know, buddies who also like does it or whatever. And so I went down that rabbit hole of like watching these guys, watching their interviews, watching their GoPros, watching their jumps and everything. And it is so insane. And so many of them die.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Really?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
They die.
They're just like, oh, yeah, lost Jimmy last week. Like,
I don't talk about that enough.
You're just falling.
Yeah.
You just fall.
And they go,
but like it's at a slight angle.
Yeah, at an angle.
They go to like the Grand Canyon, where like the most deaths happen per whatever. Like the Grand Canyon is so dangerous. And then they just jump off something and they're like, yep, he miscalculated and now he's dead. And
there
was
a random updraft. Yeah. Like,
it's not easy to practice either. It's like,
right.
You can't, you just have to trust in your innate ability to be in a glider suit.
You just have to, wing it.
Nice.
Nice.
Little
nice.
Band bottle cap right there. There you go.
No, the primitive part of my brain
my bottle cap.
With like heights is so strong. I don't want to do like any of that. It took me so much to get used to flying regularly.
In a plane?
Yes. Oh. Like I want to be on the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
No.
Hang gliding.
That's kind of cool. Used to want to
that's do that.
I put that in the category with like parasailing.
Yeah,
another. I'm like, that's cool. It doesn't seem like that dangerous. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think that I would still get strapped to a John and get pulled up by a boat. Right? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah. Oh, no, parasailing.
Parasailing, you're on the thing.
You're standing on like a surfboard with the wind.
Yeah, and then the board one where they pull you up. I don't know what that one is.
No, what's the one where you
start
literally
on the
just
boat.
Where you just hang in the parachute and they pull you along?
That's parasailing.
That's parasailing. Yeah.
Oh, that's parasailing. Yeah.
That's
what's
safe.
The one? Windsurfing.
Windsurfing. That's what I thought you were thinking of. That's what I first was thinking of.
I was thinking of windsurfing.
I was like, I can't do that. But man, watching people do that at the beach is crazy.
Yeah.
It looks so awesome.
It looks strong.
If it's really windy, I mean, they'll up these waves like 10, 15 feet in the air, splash back down. It looks like so much fun.
So cool.
But yeah,
I really wanted to buy like an ultra glider kit, an ultralight when I was a kid, which is like a hang glider with like a lawnmower motor attached to it and a propeller.
Oh God.
Man, I wanted one of those so bad when I was a kid.
Are those very dangerous?
Not any more dangerous than, you know, anything else you could do with a lawnmower.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
You know? What about those things that you take out on the water and they just shoot you straight up in the air?
Oh, the thing where you're like strapped in.
It's like a weird water jetpack.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, those
yeah.
Things,
I want one of those.
Okay, so you would do that.
Oh yeah,
that's kind of.
Doesn't
heights.
He have one of those in Eastbound and Down?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's a Righteous Gemstones. They use them, but then he's really into jet skis in Eastbound and Down, which are also I've always wanted.
Yeah, I want a water jetpack.
So you would do that?
I would do water jetpack.
Is that the height?
Oh yeah, I guess he does do it.
The height of your dangerous.
Yeah, because I still got a tube, and if I fall, I just land in the water.
Oh.
I do a beautiful swan dive. No splash.
No splash.
If I get a boat, will you come on a boat ride with me?
Hell yeah.
No.
All right.
I love a boat ride.
Okay. Hell yeah.
No. I get a boat.
Once they clean up the Hudson River, I'll jump in.
You know, they say the best day of owning a boat?
The day before you get it?
The day you sell.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it always sounds like a good idea.
Yeah, if you get a boat, I'll come out and just laugh at you for ruining your entire life for owning a boat.
I don't know if I'm going to invite you now. Seems like you would ruin my perfectly
saying,
good boat.
Don't buy fucking boats. Do not do it.
Dude,
don't
if we had, boat. You come out to my boat, we're having rum punch, we're having nooners.
Yes.
Go out on the Hudson.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
In.
You don't like a boat?
The primitive part of my brain. Heights, water. Don't like it.
Can you not swim?
I can swim. I'm a very good swimmer.
I thought you were a good swimmer. What's the problem?
I just don't like it.
Wow. Okay.
I don't like water.
Some people have a fear of open water.
It's going to be a beautiful boat.
I'll come on the boat.
Okay.
Yeah. No ocean for me. As long as you're doing the Hudson, I'm in.
You don't want, you're fine with rivers and lakes.
Yep.
You don't want the ocean. Why? Sharks?
Vomit. Motion sickness.
Oh, but you wouldn't get that on
you don't get a lot of huge swells in the Hudson, I don't think.
No.
For me, it's the void beneath you.
Yeah.
Would you swim in the ocean, Joe?
What? Yeah, I swim in the ocean.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking in a boat on the ocean. Sure. I just get sick.
Seems like Kate doesn't want to swim.
I'm a good swimmer. I would drown in the ocean just from like the sheer like looking down.
Do you feel the same way?
No, I'm not a great swimmer, but I don't like the idea of it either. But then, but now it's like the older I get, like the worse my motion sickness gets, and I can't be on a boat anymore.
What's your stroke of choice? Butterfly, crawl, breast, backstroke, little dog paddle?
The one where you
crawl.
Go like that?
Crawl. Are you doing like...
No.
Like Michael Phelps?
Just keep your head out of the water the whole time?
Do my head back and forth.
Yeah,
that's... I guess. It's improper form.
I don't know.
Just put your head in the water. Speaking of the, so I always thought of myself.
Just come up for
I always thought of myself paddle. As not being afraid of the open water. I've swam in the ocean and stuff like that. It doesn't bother me. I jump out of a, you know, boat in a lake or whatever. It doesn't bother me. And I was in for my honeymoon in Hawaii. So I'm in Hawaii, and we go out to this island to go snorkeling as part of like this organized trip. We snorkel. Get back on the boat. We're driving back. And while we're between the this outer small island and the island we were returning to, the guy just stops the boat. And he's just like, all right, this is like one of the deepest parts of the ocean, like around Hawaii. And he's like, check it out. Like, hop in. Get all your gear on hop in. And you hop in. And he's just like, you know, just look down. You look down. It just looks like kind of blue, green. You know, can't really see anything. The light's kind of shimmering. And I was just like, oh, okay. You know, it's kind of a fun thing. And he was like, all right, I'm going to drop this coin in and, like, see how long you can see it go. He drops the coin in, and it's going. And I watched it for, like, 4 minutes. And I started to be like, thump, 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 thump.
Yeah, that, it becomes a fear of heights thing.
I honestly started to feel like I was going to get like sucked into this void. I had this crazy feeling, and I pulled up and I was like, I'm done. I think I'm good. I'm good. I had like a real fear of it. It was crazy.
It's like standing on the edge of a skyscraper or something. Yeah. It's just like, it's so terrifying.
Yeah, I just hadn't. It looked, because it was so clear, it looked like open space. I was just like, okay, I'm going to get back on the boat now and have a Mai Tai.
Yeah. Yeah, no thanks.
Rum punch, thanks. Please.
I couldn't believe how long I could see the coin.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it was insane.
That's so cool.
It's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Sorry to trigger you.
I want
to
go there. I want to see that coin.
You got to see it.
That sounds fun. All right, boat trip, me, Joe, and Sydney, and Mai Tais.
Hell yeah.
Yes,
on the Hudson.
This summer, Troy's getting a boat.
I will see. I want a boat. I want a boat just so I can say, oh, my boat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my boat.
We went out on my boat.
It's like a rowboat. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
My boat.
What would you name it?
Oh, Santa Maria.
Oh.
Original.
There's already a boat named very famous boat.
I think there's a boat that had that name.
Lucille Ball.
Well, that's fun.
Pretty good.
That's fun.
That's
Lucy.
Pretty-
Lucy.
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 For short.
Lucy Ball.
Lucy Balls.
Lucy Balls.
Lucy Balls.
Painted right on the back of the
Lucy
boat.
Ball zoning. All right. Well, you're all invited to take a ride on the Lucy Balls this summer. We'll be back right after this quick break.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
It's the cinematic event of the year. Critics say incredible, jaw-dropping, action-packed with savings.
You're talking about Thunderbolts?
No, Sergey, it's 2-for-1 cinema tickets from Compensa Market. A wonderful offer.
So?
That you can use to see Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts only in cinemas.
Woohoo! I'll get the popcorn.
Get 2-for-1 cinema tickets every Tuesday or Wednesday with Compensa Market. Simples!
When you take out a qualifying product for Compensa Market, one membership per year, participating cinemas, 2 standard tickets only, cheapest free. T's and C's apply.
Folks, we're back. I want to thank our sponsors, Foundry Virtual Tabletop. Got to see a lot of cool Foundry shit last week. Going to see some more cool stuff this week. And of course, Norse Foundry.
Of course, our friends at Norse Foundry.
Which roll even even better when you take the unconscious condition off your character.
Yes, your modifiers are even better. Norse Foundry, just a reminder, all through May, this entire month, a niche exclusive offer from our friends at Norse Foundry. You want a natural 20? How about 20% off everything on the Norse Foundry store? Everything. Use code GCP20 at checkout. They're very kind, and they were like, you know what? We want to do something for the niche. So this is a very niche-specific offer. This is not open to everybody else. You know, it's just use that code for just this month. You got to get it in by May. Anything on the site, 20% off.
Critical sale.
Critical sale.
Critical sale.
20% yeah. Wow. off, naturally.
Wow.
These are good.
Right? Marketing copy.
These are good.
Be our next sponsor.
That for real, was good.
For real, be our next sponsor. So speaking of sponsors, you're going to need sponsors for the seven-step program you're going to have to enter if your characters survive this adventure.
Wow. I really pulled the ripcord on
Zephyr's
that one.
Zephyr's the only drunk, though. I don't understand.
Fear Anonymous.
Oh.
Because you're going to be living in fear after the things you've seen in this adventure.
Oh.
Underneath Riddleston Manor, last week you decided to really dig into this research. You're like, well, all that's left is a vault, I think. Think we're pretty safe from wandering monsters. Let's spend some time searching through the good doctor's notes. And during that time, you discover, some information. It seems like he found a mummified hand in his belongings after he returned from the missing moment, a mummified hand perhaps of a Yeti, of a Salman Carr, and has been trying to regrow it into a creature using dark rituals and dark magic and science. Into a creature called
Science.
The Guest is what he refers to
it
as.
What a great name.
The Guest. You've heard about the Blessed One and you've heard about the Guest. Who's who? What's what in this horrible place? You also, what else do you learn? You learn about dreams. He's been obsessed with dreams and he believes that if he can get enough power, he'll be able to enter the dreamlands. He learned how to invade other people's dreams and take things from them. He's trying to enhance his power, but power to do what? You do not know. You learn more about the Nameless Spires and his belief that if he can get there, he'll be able to enhance his psychic gifts that he gained from Asoyo or steal more things from the Gatewalkers themselves to enhance his gifts. He's helping Asoyo escape, helping Asoyo to, remanifest. Is Asoyo his memories? It's all very, very unclear. Buggles found a little bit of talk of Asoyo, but it seems like his notes just keep going round and round as to what it is. Is it an alien? Is it an undead god? Is it the group of people that created the Nameless Spires? What is it all about?
You know what I didn't ask before? Does it seem like we know more about Asoyo than he does?
Well, possibly. But
we might know different things, but yeah. We know things that he doesn't know, right?
Like, you don't see any
mention of the elves
trapped under the ice or any of that. Ice,
no mention of the elves.
You haven't seen it thus far.
No mention of Kanipo in any of these.
No,
books?
He does talk about releasing Asoyo. He fears that if he's not the one to release Asoyo, he won't be the one that's rewarded. So maybe he doesn't mention an ice prison, but where is he being released from? But if he believes that it's a manifestation of his memory, his lost memories, you know, is it possible that you have misinformation? Is it possible that the information you have is tinged by someone's interpretation of what Asoyo is? Or is it just an unearthly whale?
I don't think that's possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, we learned our information from our game master, who you trust. Yeah.
Implicitly.
Well, I am a boat captain.
Exactly.
Captain of this ship.
Captain, this old captain, my captain, would never lead us astray.
Nope.
No.
Would never tell us misinformation.
Captain the Lucy Balls. You go and find a trophy room. A trophy room with a little diorama of the Nameless Spires. How cute. Third grade project. A hexagonal pyramid in the middle of it. Interesting. What's that all about? Statue of a Salman Carr, like a stuffed Salman Carr. An illusory statue that looks like it's undergone several permutations of perhaps Asoyo, this multi-tentacled, multi-eyed whale. And of course, a bunch of skulls that have had part of their cranium sort of severed so that you can lift the top of the head off and look inside. And each of the skulls have a little plaque next to them when they were collected, when they were harvested, the date of their death. and their name. And the last one, it appears, is the skull of Bolan Nagaso, collected posthumously. He was interviewed and harvested right before the doctor sent you to Seven Arches. What did he know?
So harvesting doesn't necessarily mean that's when they died, because we killed him.
Right.
Yeah, so, right.
A few days after.
Yeah.
Maybe it's the brain. Like, it's the harvesting the brain, because they saw off the tops of all these skulls. So maybe that's what it is.
Is there a way to tell, like, what's special about this collection? Like, why are these skulls here, maybe?
Oh, no. Riddleston's the worst kind of guy. He's a phrenologist. No.
Ew.
Ew. Bad eugenics. It's the
greatest crime.
Study of skull shapes, and they used to think that your skull shape meant you were, like, more intelligent or less intelligent, but it was actually just racism.
I feel like I just got dumber.
The yeah. brain pan of a stagecoach tilter.
I roll for phrenology.
Okay.
I got a 5.
We should invest more points in knowledge phrenology.
Lore phrenology.
It really does look like this illusion of a soil, like seeing it now, like it really does look like an aboleth to me, the player.
Mm-hmm,
can
mm-hmm.
I do a check on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we all know what that is, but Skid will explain it for the viewers at home.
Yeah, for the people who don't know at home.
Natural one.
Oh, no.
In fact, you said that word seeming like you knew about it, and then right when it came out of your mouth, you feel like you made up the word aboleth.
Yeah.
But now, Skid, tell us about aboleths, because aboleths been around a long time.
Yeah, these go back to, I think they might be Lovecraft.
Yeah.
Concepts, but they in the lore of Galarian, they're this ancient, like old one kind of species that held sway over the earth, like before. I think they like guided humanity's evolution, and they had their own like kind of weird sort of aims in mind, the mysterious. And I think that they were at war with the Aslanti. I think the Aslanti were like at war with them. But they're these super ancient, incredibly evil, weird creatures from the dark, distant past of Galarian.
We kind of fought one in Raiders of the Lost Continent, right? Or was it a apparition of one? I can't remember.
Yeah, I know there was. I think so. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe so.
I'm trying to remember. But yeah,
but this looks just like with the rows of eyes and the tentacles. Mm-hmm. It looks like.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely very Lovecraftian. It's very otherworldly. So the doctor theorizing that perhaps it is some sort of alien entity. You think the same thing. This is something otherworldly. And knowing what you know of the history of the ancient Severian elves coming across this being that manifested and they tried to trap it, you know. We collectively know enough about, from playing Strange Aeons, about, you know, the elder things that came here and were trapped, and the Yithians and whatnot. It's all very Lovecraftian. But how you're connected to this, you don't know.
Okay, so Brother Amius is going to react to seeing Bolan's name next to Buggles. Buggles, look. Points at the name. Bolan. He says he was, and he's looking back, you know, in his mind, he's going back to the somewhat of the dates of when things were happening, and just, he would have been interviewed here before we met him, harvested before Riddleston sent us to Seven Arches.
Wait, is that true? So he was harvested after we killed him, or before we
interviewed and harvested before
we were ever even sent to Seven Arches?
Like, what is harvesting?
Oh, so his memory must have been harvested.
Oh,
right,
maybe
or something. So something about him was harvested that resulted in
his power, perhaps. What can you recall, Buggles, about when we met him? What he spoke of? My memory is failing me. I'm getting old.
I can't remember. I know. The druids. I can't remember anything that he said. So much has happened.
The druids told us that he had found something beyond the gate, a key, that his purpose was to, it seemed to us, unlock Kanipo, free Kanipo, right, Zephyr?
Yeah, but did he decide to do that on his own, or do you think Riddleston?
Perhaps Riddleson implanted
the idea in his head.
Or the memory. It's very possible.
But he was here. It's very strange.
And Riddleson knew it. He knew it then. He knew it when he sent us to Seven Arches. He was already doing all of this. All of this was built and all happening before, right under our noses, while we were here.
I mean, we were at the estate, right? Like, at some point before we went out on the mission. Mm-hmm. So, like,
it was happening right under our noses. Why not just harvest us then? Well, why send us on this mission?
Perhaps we were harvested, too.
Maybe we have been harvested. What does it even
mean? Maybe it's only a matter of time before our skulls end up in one of these displays with a similar plaque.
I mean, the thing about thralls, too. If he already got what he needed from Bolon and then sent you all out to kill him, you're just doing what he wanted you to do. It's like he always knew exactly what you would end up doing anyway.
Perhaps, Gik. He did not send us. He never mentioned the name to us. He never sent us out to kill Bolon.
He sent us
out to examine the Seven Arches and just determine if they were real or fake. After that, we never spoke to him again.
What happened to his body after we killed him?
I think we just left him.
No, we brought it back
to the city.
To the druids? With Lucky's body. Like, you brought the body. You brought both bodies back, I remember.
We were supposed to bring him back alive, I think.
Yeah, we were.
And we didn't.
Talitha stabbed him, and the last thing he said was, "Kanipo, help me," when Talitha stabbed him.
He said, "Kanipo, help me?"
Yeah.
Oh. All right, so we brought his body back,
which means that the druids at Seven Arches, they had some relationship with Riddleson.
Corimona.
They handed over the corpse.
Corimona was the other evil oak steward, and then Lemma Feldthorn
was the halfling who sent us out there.
I think we brought it back and spoke to Lemma Feldthorn, and we're like, we killed them.
She was the one who just rides a horse inside all the time.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Terrifying.
She really has.
Easy.
Terrified Buggles on purpose.
What was the horse's name?
I
mean,
I don't remember the horse's name. Maybe he stole the body.
Easy.
Maybe they're not involved.
Well, that is an important question and an important distinction to make.
Oh, Zephyr. It was a horse named Mulberry.
Mulberry.
Aww.
Easy, Mulberry.
Easy.
It smells your genitals.
Could we talk to the Lemma Felt lady?
Yes, we could return to Lemma Feldthorn, ask her if she
or a phone down here?
Spoke to Riddleson. Or, yes, that is something we could do.
I'm just really concerned about what harvested means.
As am I. Do we feel like as if we searched his office thoroughly enough? Were our names perhaps mentioned in any lists of those that had been harvested?
So much.
Now you're making me think we already were harvested.
Let's look at all these skulls. Who else?
We didn't recognize any of the names, and then the last one.
One thing you know is that Bolon was a gatewalker.
Right.
And you do see that he's been invading the dreams of gatewalkers, experimenting on gatewalkers, so you kind of assume that these are the skulls of other gatewalkers. You know, when you spoke to, I can't remember who, it might have been Asandon upstairs, or it may have been the older Tian man. He mentioned that, like, there was a group of gatewalkers. They went in to the library with Dr. Riddleson, and they came out, and they were acting weird, and they seemed different, and then they left.
Right. They were harvested. That was happening. He harvested them and then sent them out. They were lobotomized.
He picks up one of the skull tops.
You also found a room of decapitated gatewalkers.
Yeah.
And the heads weren't there.
Yeah, that was the first thing I assumed, is that they were the heads of those gatewalkers in the pits.
So here...
But I mean, sorry, real quick, but you also have to, like, they didn't decay. Like, clearly he's cleaning these skulls, like making them skulls with, like, acid or something.
It's confusing because the word harvested makes me think like that's the date he harvested the skull.
Yeah.
But that doesn't seem to be the case.
No. Right.
Harvested their
something.
Is that a proper logical thing to draw from what you're talking about with these dates? That harvested, it precedes death by some time in some cases.
It does, yeah. So something else is.
But then a trophy of when they
harvested
are dead. He takes the skull back.
It makes me wonder if we've been harvested.
Right.
Yeah.
Check my head for scar.
Yeah.
Check my head for a scar.
Pulling our hair up.
Do you see any scars?
Serial killers.
Zephyr.
Love trophies.
Look at my head.
This is like the Predator's ship.
Skulls. All skulls. Well, here's the question. Where, then, is this thing, this power, or this memory, or this, like, does Riddleston just have that? Because we haven't found a place that's, like, a floating jar, you
what
know.
What he of, may be harvesting?
Yeah, like, he just has it, then? Question?
Moonstones.
Oh.
Perhaps he infuses them into the moonstones.
He bought a bunch.
Carries them with him.
He spent all his money on them.
Yes.
Gee, I mean, gods, this is... Goddesses and gods.
Jesus Christ, whoever that is.
I was going to say Jesus.
Who did you say?
He's a god. That? What?
Jesus is a god?
Never heard of this pantheon.
No, he was a cross maker. It doesn't matter.
Jesus and Pharasma.
Jesus H. Pharasma.
Oh, you didn't know? Yeah, Pharasma's the last name. First name, Jesus. Middle name, Hayden. Anyway.
Well, perhaps there are more answers to be found in this vault, whoever it is. There's also this other door. The loop peers out around the corner. There's this other door we bypass to get in here.
Yeah.
The vault.
That's the vault.
Is that the vault?
It might be one entrance to begin the vault. Ramius is going to say, Zephyr, what do you make of this Yeti?
Yeah, it's a Yeti.
All right, why don't you step aside?
I rolled a natural 5. It's a salmon car.
All right.
Some people say salmon.
Very good, Zephyr.
I say salmon.
It's a salmon car.
It's a salmon car.
It's a salmon car.
What do you make of this Yeti? Yeah, it's a Yeti. All right, why don't you step aside?
Salmon.
Exactly.
All right.
All right.
Such an asshole.
You've done very well.
Let's bring Grandma back to bed. All right. Come on.
All right. What am I wrote? Society on this, John?
Yeah. Are these skulls?
What are these skulls doing here?
Yes, yes. And look, you may recognize that, Zephyr.
And then he's going to turn to the Yeti.
It's better than what I got.
Dude, psyched. 19.
Oh, it's pretty good.
I'm going to try.
20% off Norse Foundry if you want to roll higher.
Yeah. We'll get a better Norse Foundry die than I have.
29.
Boggles!
I'm not even going to roll. That's really good.
You're right, Zephyr. It is
a statue of a salmon car. It is not a stuffed salmon car. In terms of its significance, all you can think is that it's part of this process of piecing together something that
the guest,
you know, the guest, or you know, just like the illusory statue of a Soyo or this whale has undergone several permutations. It looks like he's trying to surround himself with things to remember, because otherwise, you know, what's the point of just having a salmon car statue? It's all part of this.
They must be around that area, like the city, forgotten spires. What is it?
The nameless spires.
Nameless spires. Like, I'm sure they might live in the city, or they're definitely around there. So
it is an obsession, truly. Put in all this work and effort to just build this.
He's going to examine the statue thoroughly, all sides. See what it's kind of made of, and also see if there's anything interior to it, if there's anything in it, or, you know, if he puts moonstones in it or something, or a moonstone in his mind, I don't know. Just sort of, like, examine, because if it's a statue and not stuffed, that's also kind of weird. Like, is it actual fur on the outside? Is it fake fur? Is it just all stone and looks like fur? Like,
yeah, it's kind of like what you would see in a museum.
It's taxidermied.
Yeah, but it's not stuffed. Like, it's not an actual salmon car that they stuffed. It's a statue that has been dressed up to look real, but it's like 12 feet tall.
Wow.
It goes all the way to the ceiling.
I'm going to do a perception for any, like, seams or anything to see if I can see what's inside of it, maybe. 23.
Yeah, nothing's jumping out at you in terms of, like, oh, maybe there's a hidden compartment.
Right. Well, I suppose we need to move on to the vaults.
I just want to do a quick sweep, just checking the walls and floor, just for anything secret.
Any secret rooms in here? Yeah.
Secret doors.
25.
25. No, nothing.
Okay.
I'm doing the same, because secret room doors everywhere. He's just running his hands along walls. Not 25. Less.
And Kik is just, for posterity's sake, also gonna... Nope. And she...
Natural 20.
Oh,
really? Is there a secret door in this room? Yeah.
No.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Nothing. And you feel very confident. Sure.
I don't know what that thing is in the corner. I think it's a Yeti, but there's definitely no secret doors in this room.
Got a splinter trying to look for the floorboard secret door. All right. Guess there's nothing.
There's no such thing, Gick.
Oh.
Come here.
Thanks.
And he's going to not use assurance and roll a medicine check just to see. Oh, you're lucky. I crit.
I literally
He just is like, stay still. Don't move. Got this.
Oh,
it's like he has to prove to himself.
Pulls it out very quickly.
Ow.
And you're good. You're good. You're good.
Thanks. All right, Buggles, you want to check out that vault?
Yes.
You sure you want to go in there first? We'll be right behind you.
I do.
Okay.
So look of grim determination on Buggles' face as now more than ever finding out like the depth of the betrayal that's been happening. Somebody that he trusted as much as he did, defended as much as he did. Now it feels like the Kula Khan was like leading him in the right direction. He goes for the door. Gonna check it out.
Yeah, so
21 perception on the door.
Perception, yeah. It's got this wheel with this, you know, combination lock of numbers 1 to 50.
Okay.
But beyond that, nothing else is interesting.
And there's nothing that we have found that would give us any indication of those plans or anything or any clues as to what the first number may be, or there are no numbers on anything?
No, you haven't found anything so far.
Did it just like go 1 through 50? It's not really
a... 1, 2, 3. If it's just a single number.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can give me a thievery check.
Okay.
Yeah.
18.
18. Yeah, you're just trying to like... There's a way we can get past, bypass this. It's not popping.
I got a 24 thievery, just for like... He's looking for knowledge of how these things work. Is it like three numbers? Is it left, right, left? Like,
mm-hmm.
Typically with these kind of locks, is there any indication or any...
Like a gym locker?
Yeah, is there any like, precedent for like a better term?
Seems
like other locks that work like this?
Seems like there's multiple numbers that have to be entered on this door.
In a certain order.
Yeah, and you know there's three doors. If the schematic is what it was actually made. But yeah, it would take pretty high level thievery to try and just randomly figure that out. So then you wonder, did he write down the combination somewhere and
right.
didn't come across it? Are there other ways to get past this? Seems like
all right.
It's high level security here.
I'll do a perception all along this hallway for any other secret doors or entrances.
Same.
Oh, God. Oh, there we go. 33.
Nope.
There's no other seams. Perhaps we just missed something. It must be written somewhere, right?
Did we look in his office deeply?
I thought we did. Well, we
that
were all very distracted, Zephyr Efto. Well, never mind.
I mean, we found the drawing. We found the weird head thing and the gloves. I thought we found everything there. We could go back and look again, but she looks at her. She's not wearing a watch. We're running out of time, though.
Until when?
You seem to think that no one's going to notice that we're gone.
What are they going to do? Come down here and get us?
I'd like to try something with you, Gick. We slept down here for 4 straight days. To see if anyone comes down. You want to bet?
What do you want to bet? How about what's in your pocket? Because I know it's a full satchel of flay leaf.
No deal. I'm going back to the office.
Ramius is going to start to leave and go to the office.
Before we move on, Gick will go with him, but can I do, if it's worth it, an arcana on the door?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 14? 14!
Yeah, no.
Yeah!
Yes!
Doesn't seem like there's any magical thing. It's just a really good vault.
Damn, it's a good door.
It's a good vault. He's got money. Clearly spent a lot on this vault.
And there's no doors that we know that we bypassed anywhere.
Not that we know of, right?
No.
Yeah, I mean, you were pretty perceptive all the way throughout. You found several hidden doors. And yeah, it doesn't seem like you missed anything.
All right. Yeah, let's go back to his office. Where's his office again?
That red room.
Yeah, Ramius is walking there now. Yeah,
red room.
bedroom.
It was like, we were in his office where the books are, but like this other one had a desk. And I'm just kind of like, if there was like a lock password, maybe it'd be in this room in the desk, maybe.
Yeah, we can start splitting up and sort of rooting through everything. Ramius is going to like pull every book off the bookshelf.
Yeah, let's just start ransacking the place.
Looking, yeah, flipping through them quickly, see if anything falls out, if anything is, any papers or notes are held in between pages, behind books, behind shelves, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
except for you're going to do the same thing in the desk.
Yep.
Yeah, like just, yeah. Right, like cops, FBI.
Pulling out the drawers. I'm
wrecking it.
I'm checking the fireplace.
Right.
You've got a warrant.
All right, find, give me some perception checks here. Give me your best perception.
I'm going to use scholarly recollection here to seek twice, use the better result.
Not bad. That's not bad. Ooh. Great. Oh. Ooh.
34.
Ooh. DC Larry Bird.
Oh.
DC 33,
wow.
Dude.
Whoa.
DC Kareem?
In searching the roll top desk.
Ah. It was the roll top desk.
Something you miss the first time around is a little hidden Johnski.
Oh, son of a bee.
Hidden compartment underneath.
Pop.
And you pull out all of these like loose papers.
For your flay leaf.
Yeah, this is rolling papers.
There's rolling papers? He's not such a bad guy.
Not such a bad guy.
Hang out with this guy, I guess.
And they seem to be formulae, various formulas, some for alchemical creations, but some for a ritual, a specific ritual known as an inveigle ritual.
To write that inveigle. Down.
Inveigle?
I've
Vagal.
Definitely heard that word.
Should I Google it?
Yes.
Is it an English word?
Or just it give is. Me a arcana, occultism, or religion check of the expert variety. For those of you that are experts in
You work. Have to be an expert.
None of those for me.
Survival?
Occultism, arcana, or religion.
Not to me.
I'm going to take my time with this. I feel like this is too important.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take 10 minutes and refocus. He silences his mind. He prays and thanks the keeper for guiding him to the secret compartment in the desk. And now he's like, what is this term? What is this word? He's going to refocus so that he can do scholarly recollection again, which I can do on a recall knowledge check for religion, which he's an expert at. So,
okay.
Be able to roll twice and take the better result. And that is going to be 26.
Okay.
I'm sorry, 30.
30, okay. That's good. That's high enough. This isn't a high-level ritual. But it is a very powerful one. An inveigle ritual is meant to win over someone's mind. Win over someone's mind so that it looks upon you as a close and trusted friend and looks upon all of your suggestions as reasonable. Mm. Even though in other circumstances, they could be appalled or protest or whatnot, they would just sort of go along with what you say.
Yeah, I think it means like to deceive someone with flattery.
This is like ultra charm person because they'll do what you say. Because charm person is like, we're buddies, but that's a weird thing.
Yeah, but there's all kinds of like, right, little exceptions to the charm person rule where they can roll out of it for certain things.
And there's still, this is still in effect. So like if you ask them to do something that is completely against their nature, they can like try to fight against it, but they can fail and then have to perform these things, even though there's another part, a compartment of their brain that is telling them they shouldn't be doing this.
Two like things. I looked it up.
It's onto a thing.
I looked it up. One of the things is it's generally difficult to cast this ritual unless the target is willing or restrained.
Oh.
All those restrained chairs. And the duration is for a year until it's dismissed.
How?
Whoa.
So he 1,000%. Wait. So perhaps he's not even actually doing things to certain people except for this spell, except for telling them, like, you have to go find this thing. You have to da-da-da-da. And for a year, people are like, gotta go find that thing.
Sounds very reasonable.
Riddleston is a great scientist who told us that we were special and have to do this. That is...
Remus is like blinking, like he's thinking about his garden and his prayers in the abbey and his, like, just the reading and copying of books, just the simplicity of his life and how strange it seemed, like when we were heading off to Seven Arches. Like, he's no adventurer, you know? And he even said it at the time, like, I'll just try to help, you know? And he's thinking of all these things, like, it seemed so natural. It seemed like it was something I wanted to do. You know, like when you wake up from a dream and you feel like you did things in your dream that you're like, I would never do that. In the dream, it seemed so normal. It
seemed so natural. And,
right.
Yeah.
It's like, did he do this to us? Have we already been subject to the spell?
Gik is thinking the same thing. Like, I'm from Catapesh. Why did I go north? Why was I going north in the first place? Why was I near anything up there? Why did I end up with the smiling wolves?
Oh, so weird.
Me too. Like, for Buggles, his whole thing was to go back to Arcadia and liberate all the other goblins that had been enslaved there. Like, that was his whole thing. Why is he doing this?
Yeah, I was originally on a quest to go find a monastery to teach me more about bows.
You don't even use a bow.
Use a bow anymore.
Crack your bow over your knee.
I know. Was that my choice?
You hate bows now.
Do I?
You broke it over your leg.
And then you started drinking.
And then I... Who am I?
I don't know who I am.
Is this who I am, or was that who I was?
Who I were?
What? Were?
But this is not a key. She holds the paper back to Ramius. This is not a...
He's turning it over.
It's not a way to get into the...
Looking
for the combination.
To the door. I don't understand. Why wouldn't you...
Flip through the pages, and you do see on a couple pages, non-sequentially, three numbers. Another page, three more numbers. And another page. Three more numbers.
Okay.
Numbers. Let's go. And we'll be back right after this break.
We're breaking in, dude.
Yes. It's got to be such a weird feeling to start to question not only your own motives. Is why am I doing what I'm doing? Has this always been my free will, or has someone implanted this in me? Take it a step further and for a moment start to question your own backstories. If you forgot what happened during the missing moment, yes, you have burn scars on your body, but how do you really know that you were in an abbey that burned down?
Right, and in that memory of that, I see the Yeti face, the Salman Carr face. So it's like, he starts thinking, was I never in a fire? Like, that's crazy.
How do you know that there was a mistress of the house that cut off your ears? Perhaps something else happened. You have to question your entire world of
view. Everything.
This is, there's an amazing little layer here that's going on with these, I'm going to go meta here with these writers, right? Who are writing this. I think if this idea has been there from the beginning, this is kind of hilarious to me because I'm like, what a genius thing to do as like a very experienced RPG writer to be like, all right, so we're going to start out. The PCs are going to be essentially hypnotized and tricked into agreeing with whatever the quest giver says, because really it is always kind of weird. Mm-hmm. Like at the start of an adventure, most of the time somebody is like, I need you to do this thing for me. And it is probably going to kill you.
Yeah.
or put you at great risk.
Super risky.
And you're like, yeah, we got to go do this. Like, we don't really know why. It's because we're playing a game and we're obviously going to go forward with this story. We're going to have figure out all our own motivations to get through it. But like, it's so funny to think like,
it's tough. It's like at the beginning, it's just like, why are we doing this? Like,
yeah. Why would I risk my life for this? All right. I'll come up with reasons. Yeah. I'll come up with reasons.
And like work at a bank or something. Why do I have to do this at all?
Like, exactly. Like, I'd rather just grow flowers and pray and, smoke weed. Yeah. It is very like, it's interesting to think we don't question these people, especially at the outset, you know, of an adventure, and to have that be called into question.
Yeah, like, that's
maybe here's why you just did whatever he said.
Right. And
it seemed normal.
Yeah. And I love that there were like, we felt frustrations too about certain elements of it. And now I'm like, well, yeah, we just kind of did whatever, because that's the quest, where in reality we would have been like, why the fuck?
And maybe the ritual.
This isn't even a quest. They already knew that the seven arches were not there. Like, what is going on?
And maybe the ritual was like wearing off. But I'm also like, Zephyr's also wondering, like, did she walk through the gate on her own accord? Or was that the ritual to like,
just see all the way back? Hand push you through a gate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Remius has a brother, right? His brother was in this other town.
Oh, God.
So he had to have a brother. But did he ever see him as part of a gate? It's very weird. Very weird. And then what does it have to do with the memory we gave up?
That was even crazy. That's even crazy. I keep thinking about that.
There's another whole memory thing is this separate from Riddleston?
I keep thinking about that, mostly because now it doesn't matter because I don't have Asta anymore. But like, that was such I loved that part with the undead, the heads and like.
The Kahlborn.
Yeah.
It's such a cool thing. It's just so cool.
But it is.
I'm like, is it connected? Is it not? I don't know.
Yeah, obviously memory and dreams are a big theme here.
All right, so
I think we know what we want to. What we want to do.
At least we can try. We're down to 9 numbers, or I guess they seem like they're 3, 3, and 3, so they would be one of the doors, and the other door,
they're out of order. Yeah.
Secret stash.
All right. Can I roll a knowledge? Do I know with my knowledge of the spell if it is breakable? If you are aware of the spell. Like, if you are aware of the existence of the ritual, is it easier to break it than just asking to do something that's
like
outside of your
dreaming.
Nature?
Like, if you it's happening, take control.
That's interesting. You know that it can be dismissed by the caster or casters.
Okay. Hold him down, knife to the throat. dismiss the spell. De-inveigle
me. It says at the last sentence, we can attempt a will save to negate the effect if we're unwilling to accept the ritual, and maybe like, because we know it's a thing, maybe we can try to.
Well,
we
already willingly
save.
Accepted the ritual. The ritual is over.
Yeah.
So the post.
I don't know if you could like do it while in the middle of it.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe that's GM call.
If we're in the middle of it.
I don't know. If we're in the middle of it, this seems pretty straightforward, right?
We were
strapped into a chair.
Wake up!
Who am I?
Remember, there was also that writing in the cell. I mean, it just said kill
Riddleston.
Wait,
we were strapped to a chair?
That's what I'm saying. That's what we're assuming, that we were drugged by the gas, brought down here, strapped to a chair,
forced
harvested.
Into a ritual.
What is the length of time for the ritual? Casting time.
The casting time is...
How many people did it say it needed?
It's a long casting time. That's why the targets usually have to be willing or restrained.
Okay.
And so I think it was Zephyr.
Yeah.
It was like, okay,
one
so clearly
day.
They were restrained. Is that what it is? A day?
Yes, it's one day.
Casting time is one day.
Damn.
You would think, because you rolled really high on a low level ritual, ultimately, that you could counteract the magic of the ritual. If you knew someone that was inveigled, you could try to dismiss the ritual with a counteract check. But.
Should try it on the other gatewalkers who he's about to send out.
But I don't think that they've experienced it yet.
How do you know?
Because they spoke of the other gatewalkers going down and leaving.
After they go down, we should...
And behaving differently.
But what I'm saying is that they have not gone down, and Riddleston is not coming back.
You don't think he's coming back? You seem so confident.
I just can't wrap my head around
why
he wouldn't be here.
Are you sure that's not the inveigle telling you that?
Perhaps it is.
Is that the inveigle talking?
Are you just hungry?
No, my flay leaf is worn off, and I'm very focused right now, especially on this combination, this vault.
Yeah.
Let's find out what this blessed one is, and then we can, yes, return to the manor house and talk to...
God, I can never remember his name. Olwyn?
Olwyn, yeah.
Olwyn.
Olwyn.
All right, we'll return to the door. Actually, I'm going to... Sorry, I need to refocus again. Before we open this door, I want to refocus. So he's going to take another 10 minutes to refocus, gain back his focus point, and then I'm down to try the door.
And who is doing the thievery check? Or I guess you're just...
It's a combination.
Okay.
Now...
Because I was going
to
cast
Perhaps there
guidance.
Are some countermeasures we might want to be aware of. In the event of putting in a wrong combination, there could be some...
You were just messing with it?
Okay.
So if you're going to open it, Ramius, I'll cast guidance on you, just in case. Or something.
All right. Thank you.
And Ramius will open up to what he believes to be the first door combination.
Okay.
And input it.
Kunk. Unlocks door.
I guess call out if you need any help.
You want to open it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shkunk.
Sure enough. Tiny little space.
As expected.
Meant for one puny
human. I guess right, he looks yell if you need anything.
He looks around. Floor, walls, ceiling. Any traps or anything like that? That is a 17.
It's perfectly safe.
Okay. Steps in.
You have guidance.
Okay. Doors.
Oh.
Another wheel standing in front of you. Iron door. Three numbers. Do you know that it cannot be opened until the previous door is closed?
Zephyr waves.
We grab the door wheel.
We understand something about the exposition before.
And we close it.
I don't do well in small places.
From your perspective, it's terrifying.
This is
Foundry. He just disappears.
All right, yeah, he's got the book.
Also, we should say we wrote the numbers that we all have.
You all have
the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, numbers.
You know what the first one.
Yes.
So he's holding this book. He puts down the brief like panic. I assume it's pitch black in here.
It's pretty dark, but you have a glowing light on you.
Yeah, he's emanating this healing energy, but I'll actually cast light.
Okay.
So that there's like light.
Oh, that's the healing font, right?
Yeah, okay. That's the healing font thing. So he'll cast light, so it's just hovering over his head. He'll say, "Keep up, protect me." Click, 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 and he's just going to put faith in his God that he will keep him safe. And he opens, or it attempts to open the next door.
You enter the combination, and it does not work.
Then I'll try.
Oh, no, get it!
Oh, son of a bitch!
Stop it!
Skid just goes.
Hate.
Fuck off.
Hate. Stressful.
Oh God! God.
Not again!
Spikes start coming down.
We are going to die.
You enter the third combination, and it works. You open the door. Tiny little room. Lights spilling off of you into the new room.
Again, you're going to do a perception. Wow. Wow!
Oh my God.
Three times my die danced around the outside and stayed on the outside.
Dancing fool.
Natural 20.
Oh, yeah.
There he goes.
Woo! Safe. As a mother's womb.
Oh, that's good. Oh. And then the third... Oh, and then he closes the door behind him.
Why are they doing this to me? Kind of twisted, right?
You look down at the combination, and you can't read Ramius's writing. Is that a 7 or a 2?
7 or a 2. Well, I guess we'll go with 7.
Well, if we hear that other door, if we can hear it shut, then we can open this door again.
Each one can only be opened one at a time. Like, he can't open the third one if we're opening the first one.
Yeah,
oh, I thought just the door behind you.
Guys, I can't open the third door. Close the outer door.
Sorry.
Yeah, the schematic is such that only one door can be opened at a time.
Okay.
So terrifying.
It really is terrifying. It's designed to, prevent the invasion of an army. All right. Third combination, or second combination he will put into the third door.
Gunk.
Clunk. I'm so scared.
You open the door.
opens the door.
You open the door. And you see a big room.
Kate Stamos!
Got front row seats.
Oh my God.
It's really big room.
Tell us, describe it.
You guys can't see it, right?
No, we can't. Kate's cheating.
Kate's cheating. She's screen watching.
We're all side being like, so...
It is an enormous circular room. And at the center of the room is a 15-ish foot wide cylinder of glass plates that have been reinforced with iron. And it's filled nearly to the brim with a murky green liquid. The first thing you notice is there is some shadowy shape within the liquid, filling the entirety of this cylindrical chamber. It's topped with a large metal hatch. Looks like it's sealed with 8 chains that are pulled tight around its circumference throughout the room, like all the way to the walls. Each chain, the far end, is affixed to a stone pillar near the room's edge. So just chains going out from the hatch to the edges of the room. Between the door and the cylinder, where you're standing, is a wood and metal workstation from which 3 levers protrude. A small wooden coffer sits atop the workstation. What do you do?
You think we should try to go in now, or you think he's done, or...
He's still probably going. We don't know.
In.
Could be a long hallway.
Steps into the room. Steps up to this, like, control panel. I want to do another check beyond what you already told me about what's inside the tank from afar.
Okay.
He wants to look and see if it's moving, actively moving, pressing against the restraint, the cover, whatever. 24.
24. Very, very dark green liquid. This massive whatever it is inside just appears to be floating. It's not pressed up against... You peer around the side between the, you know, metal that surrounds the glass. It's not pressing up against the glass, so you can't see what it is. It's just this shadowy, large shape floating with it.
I think I know what this is.
What does Skid think it is?
I mean, I think you guys should come in, right?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
Can we stack up, like... 3 kids in an overcoat.
Yeah. Can we?
The floor, as you were questioning earlier about the height, the ceilings are about 6 feet high.
Okay.
So, like, if you're, I don't know how tall you are, but like,
maybe you and
stooped in.
Gick and Buggles can go at the same time.
Yeah.
Do you want to shut the door behind you, yeah. Ramius?
Ramius closes the door behind him, and he's not going to, he thought that he'd go inside and just shout when he was through, but he doesn't want to shout right now. So he's hoping that they just try to start the process.
Giggles, get on my back, and I'll see if I can open this door. It means he's all the way through.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, it's cool. I'll be cool out here alone while you wait for you to go.
Well, maybe you should go first, and then the two of us.
Yeah, Zephyr, you want to go first? I can take up the rear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't want to leave
spin,
anyone.
Spin.
Zephyr opens up the first door. Oh, I locked it.
Oop.
Step in.
Shukong.
Oh, I don't have it selected. There we go.
Shukunk, close the door behind you. Do the same thing on the next door. Shukunk.
Shukunk.
Step in. Close the door. Shukunk. Hey, it's Ramius.
Oh my God. Hey, Brother Ramius, what?
Stay quiet.
Can it hear us?
Don't know what it is.
I'll shut the door very quietly. You're wondering why you didn't yell.
Wham!
Sorry.
He's going to step up while the others are kind of working their way through and just sort of look at the... any notes or books that are on the desk as they're making their way in. He's not going to touch the levers, but looking at the documentation.
Documentation, look. The notes appear to be very focused on moonstones. And in fact, the little wooden coffer that sits atop the workstation is full of moonstones. And a cursory glance at this main tome that's on here seems to be focused on infusing these moonstones with something.
Feeding. Looks to Zephyr. Seems to be some device to heat memory into creature, whatever is in there.
Or take it from the creature?
Or take it from the creature. Perhaps. Where are they?
And he looks back at the iron door.
I was going to yell back.
Did you tell them to come right after you?
I was going to say I was going to yell. But now I can't yell.
Don't yell. Don't yell.
Massive just wait. Floating shape. Green liquid.
God.
Can I go up to it?
All right. Okay, wait, while they're doing there, can we say that Buggles is on?
You guys make it all the way through.
Yeah. All right, Buggles is on Geek's back, though. She walks in. Oh,
same thing. Shh.
Hey, guys.
Shh, shh, oh. Shh. What?
You really thought the best choice was to come through the door and yell, hey, guys.
This giant circular room. Look at me. Look at me and Buggles. Don't we look like one tall guy? No.
How much bulk is that? What are your bulk limits?
Buggles is in
here. You're a gnome bard. What are your bulk limits?
Buggles is not that heavy. That's insulting to him. Stop fighting.
All I asked you for is a number. Stop fighting.
I don't
give it to me.
You're yelling at me. We're in the presence of something unknown.
And I point with Buggles' foot towards the...
Just...
You accidentally lean on all three levels.
All chains unseal.
Water starts filling the chamber.
I set Buggles down.
Do you guys think this is the blessed one or the guest?
This is the blessed one, I fear.
I try to see into the
guest is
the thing.
You let Gig right. go up and not me, Brother Amy.
I'm touching it.
Dude.
Hang in there.
I was trying to save you, Zephyr.
Monstrous. Like, but it's
what if I don't want to be safe?
Deep within the tank.
I can't do a perception. You're saying like I wouldn't be able.
Yeah, you can't see through the water.
Okay.
If we were to come closer to the edge.
It's something deep down.
Yeah, something, remember it's 15 feet wide, 15 feet high. It is something large within the center of this thing.
All right.
So whatever it is, it isn't 15 feet wide or 15 feet high, but it's pretty tall and pretty thick.
Like it's a little Skywalker.
What's the lighting in the room?
It's lit. Say
it's lit.
So I would reason that casting a ball of light just over top of the water there wouldn't do anything
because of the metal hatch. It's not going to refract.
Okay.
Question.
Yeah.
And this can be stupid, and everyone can say, "Shut up."
Can we laugh at you?
You can laugh. Can't wait. Gick pulls out of her bag the wired headpiece and the gloves, and she says, "What if we try to telekinetically pull it closer to us?"
We don't know what it is.
That's not what that does.
Yes, it does. It turns telekinetic. It turns the... You can only use mental.
Turns whatever spells you can already cast into psychic.
Why did I write down telekinetic?
Well, it does come with something, yeah.
It says telekinetic. I wrote down telekinetic.
It's in the name of the item, but it has some sort of...
It converts verbal components for mental components. I thought it was, it can cast...
But I think it might also has, it also, I think, has imbued in it like one or two spells that are telekinetic.
That's what I thought.
Spells, I believe.
Does anything in the book talk about these levers?
He's looking through the book, Troy. Does the book say anything about the levers?
No, the books are focused on moonstones, infusing moonstones.
But the one-way part of that process... Capturing memories in moonstones, or is it extracting memories out of moonstones, or both?
It's about infusing the moonstones with something, but it's more of a general process and not a specific one.
And what was that freaking creature's name? The fish guy that spoke.
Ogmanzorius.
And Ogmanzorius wishes us to free this creature.
Are we sure this is the blessed one?
Not 100% sure, no, but it stands to reason based on what Ogmanzorius said. But I wonder, don't you, if we're still under this ritual, if we think it would be reasonable to release this creature?
Just to jog your memory, where it's been a few eps, you'll find one of the blessed ones contained beyond the three vault doors. Yeah. It will be able to hasten your return if you desire it so. Alas, you may need to search around for the combination, for I do not recall its details. You
need to hasten your return?
To Asoyo. The fish guy told us, who appeared in the magic circle.
Yeah.
Is it the moonstones or the being? Could the blessed, one of the blessed ones be the Moonstones?
If Fachman's Aureus is right, and releasing this creature speeds this process up.
Then that's exactly what Riddleson wanted, right?
Yes, but it's what we wanted as well.
Is there a way to look at, like, the chains and try to, like, trace, like, guess as best as you can how the levers might work before pulling them?
It's a very wise thought. I'm not even going to have you roll a perception check. That's Zephyr just being like, how do these work? It seems like, let's call the levers, they're not labeled, east, center, and west. So it'd be the way you're standing, facing them, it's east, center, west. Stage, west, center, east. Make sense?
Yes.
How about left, right, center?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Yeah. Away from which direction?
Looking at Foundry right Virtual Table.
Screen.
All right, so it seems like left and right are somehow connected to the chain network that is connected to the lid, whereas the center one is not.
Okay.
We should pull the center one.
I think we have to loosen these chains first.
Maybe the center one controls the lid on the top?
Maybe the center one drains the liquid. Perhaps. If the left and right control the lid, perhaps the center one is like toilet. That doesn't exist.
Like a flushing mechanism?
Yeah, the center one's like a hatch.
Listen, I don't know what a Yeti is, but I'm pretty sure I know what these chains do. So...
what do they do?
Well, the left one controls the left side.
What does it do?
The chains.
Just open them, you think?
Well, it controls the chains.
It's connected to the lid. That's what we just learned.
No.
What?
We don't know what the middle one does.
No, the left and the right.
Flush.
The left and the chains. Right. The chains are connected to the lid.
Are they? I thought it went over it.
That's what he just said.
Yeah, left and right seem to be connected to the chain system, whereas the center one is the toilet.
All right.
Gex estimation. It's the toilet flusher.
I think it would be... we'd lose it, I think, if we just flushed it. So first, let's remove the chains.
Wait. Why are we...
He reaches out to the left and the right.
Why are we doing this? Why are we letting this thing out?
We need to hasten our return.
Why are we doing anything?
Why are we hastening our return to go
because
to...
because we need to find a Soyo and destroy him or imprison
him. What? If we don't do this, what?
We also read a... didn't you read a carving in a cell that said to kill Riddleson?
Yeah.
Yes. We don't know where he is.
He's in the woods.
We don't know that. That's
at a lich gate.
You're assuming that.
And we're assuming that what you're about to do is the best decision. I don't think Ramius speaks for all of us.
I think we're too far into this to turn back now. We don't...
we...
follow through, and then what?
Must reach a Soyo. Gik, of course. Of course. Of course. Yes. Yes.
Yes, what?
You're right. We should not release this thing. In fact, we should go upstairs right now, pack our bags, and go home. We should. Should walk away. It's the only way to preserve any sense of our own safety.
I'm not talking about that.
Until Riddleson...
what do we do if we leave here?
You again.
We have to hike all the way to the... we must get to a Soyo. I feel as if this creature, whatever it is, no matter what harm it wishes us, is not misleading us, that opening this will lead us to a Soyo faster.
Then we can trap him, just like Riddleson doesn't want.
We can break ourselves from the ritual. We can turn on it, reseal it.
Okay, what would you have us do then?
No, Rick? It's six in shit, half a dozen in caca.
What?
So, y'all never heard of that?
No.
Six in shit, half a dozen in caca? My mom used to say that all the time. Six in shit, half a dozen.
Now I need to pull the toilet. Leopard.
You said flush it.
Boggles.
I've heard caca in a while. It's a classic.
Are the levers, are they in a down position now or the up?
They're all up.
All right, so Boggles moves forward and kind of like pushes everyone, like forcefully pushes everyone aside, grabs the two levers on either side.
Yes.
Pulls them down.
Go to pull the two levers to the left and the right at the same time, and they jam.
Oh.
They jam like you can't.
One and the other.
They're either fully jammed or they're preventing one or the other from going down.
Whoa.
Maybe it's do one at a time, Buggles.
Try the left.
Yeah, just
try the left, Buggles.
Take the left one. Try to pull it down.
You pull the left lever. It goes like this. It like comes down and then starts to slowly come up. As it goes down into sort of a, like a soft locked position before it rebounds ever so slowly, the metal lid atop the containment unit detaches and starts to slowly lift up. What, if anything, do you do as this lid starts to rise?
What, if anything, do we do?
No, in this 6 seconds.
Like, not actually a stance, but she, like, readies, like, gets light on her
feet.
Puts
up her dukes.
I don't know, man.
Uses the feet, put up her dukes.
Yeah.
Gik is going to cast Courageous Anthem. She's going to do her lingering composition. She now has Fortissimo Composizione.
Fortissimo Composizione.
So that basically, the way I understand it is I roll. This is very similar to, I just want to get this right. It's the first time I'm doing it. Lingering composition. It does not take an action to do it. Lingering allows me to extend it. And then Fortissimo allows me to basically increase the status bonus from my Courageous Anthems. Like, whatever I'm casting, these two allow me to, like, make it stronger and make it longer. And
nice. Yeah.
So
yeah, you do.
Take some of that home.
This is the same thing. The DC is usually the highest will DC of the composition's targets, but it's my friend.
Please stop continuing as if you didn't just
we
say that.
Really devolved now that Matthew's not here.
Longer really. And stronger. We never finished the ep if he was here.
Yeah.
Sure. Riff on that for riff.
So what do we say? The highest, it's like a DC 30 you always put it at for these two, for lingering.
What are you talking about?
The
you're a new level now. Don't forget.
Yeah. That's true.
So DC's by level for level eight is
26?
24 for level
24.
Eight.
Okay, so the DC for lingering composition is usually equal to the DC level of the highest target, whatever. So let me roll this one first. Okay. This is going to be plus my performance. Hold on.
And this is you sing?
Yeah, she's singing. She doesn't, I don't want to take my lead off.
This is the fucking lid.
It's right. Jake's arm. She's like,
lift your
<voice.
laughs>
Just does the Wicked riff real quick. That
Shut up! What are you doing?
Shut up! Quiet! Do the Michael Jackson stamp flick.
It's the lid. It's coming.
She's got her headphones in. It makes it look like actually.
Francis might fall out of his chair.
There's a lot of hand motions.
That's pyrotechnics.
That's grabbing her junk.
That's a 34 for lingering composition. Mm-hmm. So that's just a success.
Okay.
So that is, it'll last 3 rounds.
That's a critical
success. That's critical success, yeah.
Oh, what did you say the DC was?
24.
Oh, 24. Oh, yeah. Amazing. Wow. Okay, so that's 4 rounds. And then will you allow me to carry over the Fortissimo roll as well? Or do you want me to roll again?
Well, you're saying this will last for 4 rounds?
4 rounds.
Okay, that's very important. What do you want to do?
Ramius wants to turn to Buggles. Look in his eyes. Is Buggles there?
No.
Yeah. So he looks across at the Ka'ula Khan. He just looks him right in the eye and he says,
don't give me any of your shit. This is going to help you.
And he reaches a hand out and touches you before you can move away. He's going to cast protection on Buggles, on the Ka'ula Khan, but it's going to be a heightened to level 3 protection. So you will also emanate in a 10-foot area around you, a plus 1 to AC and saving throws. So for you and anyone within 10 feet around you.
Oh, great. And he like snarls and like snaps at your hand.
Yeah, and he just like pulls his hand fangs away quickly. He's just like, it's for your own good. And yeah, so that's what he's going to do with his action.
If Zephyr sees you all doing this, she's actually going to get into a real stance. I'm going to get into Wild Wind's stance and spend a focus point.
Okay. On the second round of the lid rising, whatever is inside this tank starts to stir.
I think the word you're looking for is thrash.
Thrash about. It has been quickened by this moment of not game quickened, but kind of like
lowercase q.
And you see a hand reach up. It's furry, but it's got like muscle and sinew exposed. And then another hand. Three hands, hands, five hands, six hands, as something is crawling out of the containment unit. What do you do during round two of the lid being raised?
Well, we only pulled one lever. Will the lid raise fully or does it?
It's rebounding. It seems like this is going to fully come off and then you can do something else, should you so choose.
I wanted to add on because I want to make sure I'm doing this right. Fortissimo composition, can I carry over the DC roll? I have to roll again. It seems so stupid, but whatever.
Fortissimo composition?
Composition. So basically, this is another free thing I attach to Courageous Anthem. I'm like casting Courageous Anthem, and then Lingering Composition allows it to go longer, and Fortissimo allows it to increase the bonus.
Right. If your next action is to cast one of these compositions, attempt a performance check. The DC is usually the highest will DC of the composition's target, but the GM can assign a different DC. So is your question, is this two different checks?
Yeah, like would you want me to roll two different, or can I just carry over my performance?
Well, I'm curious what
check.
The spirit of the, what it's meant to do.
It is meant to increase my status bonus.
I feel like it's two separate checks.
Okay.
Only because this critical success, and failure give you different things here. So
I'll roll again. This would be in the last round technically, I guess, but that's going to be a 28.
Okay.
So just a regular.
So that would be a plus two.
Plus
bonus.
Two. Yeah. Yep. So my Courageous Anthem is on everybody for two more rounds now. Still, it's the four rounds total, and you get a plus two to attack rolls, damage rolls, and saves against fear effects.
Yes, status bonus from the composition increases to plus two.
If I crit, it would have been plus three, which is cool.
Three.
What is the spell rank?
I want to make sure I do it right, because I'm going to be doing these a lot, I assume. Fortissimo composition is
For Courageous Anthem.
Courageous Anthem.
Was it fourth?
It's heightened to fourth.
It's heightened to fourth.
Fourth rank.
Oh, amazing. Okay. Yeah, so my thing here is like I have to set the spell rank, and then I didn't see. There's a drop-down menu for Fortissimo composition result.
Cool. Oh, that's cool.
Success or critical success. So I did success, so it should buff everything by two now.
Two, yep.
Yeah, that worked for me.
Yay, oh, cool.
And what is it? It's buffing what?
It buffs your attack damage and then saves against fear effects specifically.
Attack damage and saves against fear effects. Wonderful. Also, you rolled a 28.
For the second one.
The second one. That should probably be a critical success, I would think, right?
For your will?
Yeah, by the book it says the DC is usually the highest will DC of the composition's targets.
Yes.
So is that us?
Yes. This is why it's confusing, because I have to roll.
I'm going to have the highest will DC.
What's your will?
Oh, never mind. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, my will DC. I'm sorry.
I kind of don't like this rule, because it's making me roll on people who are accepting the spell, but
Well, no, it's just giving you an idea of how successful.
How powerful it is.
Yeah, because it's not like if you fail, it doesn't happen. It's just not buffed.
It's true.
And I'm just doing the basic DC by level to make things easy.
I'm an absolute idiot. Your roll was a success, yes.
Yeah.
I was thinking that it was my will save, and I would have the highest, I think, in the party, which is 17. But my will DC, that means it's 27.
Okay, yeah.
So for a second, I was like, that's a critical success. No, but it is definitely a success.
To make it clear, I spend the focus point for Courageous Anthem, but I don't have to spend a focus point for Fortissimo or Lingering because it's attached to the spell that I am casting.
It's a free action.
It's a free action for both.
Yeah.
People were still confused online. Want to clear that up.
I think we're getting it right at the moment. I think.
I hope.
Professor Eric will let us know.
Please.
Okay.
Buggles or Zephyr, do you want to do anything? Or you just talked. You didn't tell me what you're doing, if anything, as this multi-armed thing or things attempts to climb out.
Yeah, Brother Ramius is going to Brother Ramius is going to cast Bless as he asks for guidance from the Keeper for all of us. It won't have any mechanical effect for anybody yet, but if some for some reason Git goes down, it'll already be up.
Okay.
As a buffer.
Yeah, in my wild wind stance, I can't take any actions except for that wind crash. So she's just, the air's zipping around her, and she's just standing there, waiting, hands up.
Waiting, hands up. You just, and Buggles, anything?
I'm going to grab the other lever, the one on the right side lever.
Okay, so you go to grab the other one, and until that other one fully rebounds, it's almost fully rebounded, this one will not go down, so you feel like you're a round away from being able to pull that.
Oh. He's just like yanking on it.
You're pulling. Round three. This seems to reach its apex. The lid raises up, and emerging from the tank is a being that can best be described as a horrific mass of tangled white fur, fingers, toes, teeth, faces, horns, exposed bone, exposed muscle. It looks like several different Salmon Carr have been like unceremoniously fused together in this weird like mutant amalgamation. It's just like, it starts crawling out towards you, and it looks like this.
It has so many heads in its belly.
It hits the ground and it looks around like it's looking for someone or some people, and it sees the four of you. It raises its multiple heads and mouths up and begins to scream, and then starts to rip apart into multiple beings. Like they're all trying to run away from each other directly at each of you.
Oh.
And we'll see you next week.
Oh my god, that's the end. Oh my god. Write down what you casted and did.
Son of a bitch.
Look at this artwork.
That's amazing.
It's amazing. It is what you would call it. It is alien resurrection.
It is.
That's basically what was happening. They're totally doing these experiments, and then these twisted creatures come out of it.
The blessed one would be a friend.
Yes. That's what I thought. I thought we were going to talk to somebody who was just going to transport us to the end.
This is the blessed one.
It's time to make your membership official. Start your 30-day free trial today and become an official member of The Niche at jointhenaish.com with the promo code GCN30. That's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 to gain access to exclusive podcasts, ad-free episodes, and content you can't find anywhere else. Once again, it's jointhenaish.com and use code GCN30 at signup to get your first 30 days for free. Tell your friends, come join yourself and see what everybody's talking about when you join the Niche today.